Accession number 30650, Mr. Joe Hardy, Reel 6. Now, what? Anything else going on? Because you're there almost a year. In fact, you're there longer than a year.
That's with the course and everything.
With Vernon and the courses and leave and all the rest of it. Now, anything happened while you were there? Or what did you think of barrack life?
That was all right. I was barrack guard in there. Barrack guard, you're on a gate.
What does that mean? What exactly?
Well, that barrack guard, you've done watch keeping. Again, you do 48 on over the week and 72 over the weekend. You do a 72-hour over the weekend. That's four on, four off, four on, four off, all right the way through 74 hours, 72 hours. And then you can go home for 48 hours. Then you come back for 48 hours. And then you do the weekend on, like, you know, you have to do... one weekend you get off and one weekend you're on. Then during the week it's 48 hours, but all the time you're doing on... it's all four on, four off, right the way through.
And what kind of thing happens when you're on barrack guard, or are you just on the gate, or is it just...
You're on a gate, you're checking passes and such like. There was escorting to do, you've done escorts on the barrack guard and things like that.
Escorts?
If prisoners need to go somewhere, we go down to medical, they send a couple of fellas up to escort him down. If he's doing cell time, like, you know, they do that. Or on a couple of occasions, I took a fella down to Portsmouth even... Or not took them down, I brought them back from Portsmouth detention barracks when they finished their time, but they've still got to do.
Ever any trouble with drunks trying to get back in the camp and things? Well, the barracks are.
No, usually they sober up when they get the gates.
And what about, so you weren't enjoying life in barracks then, or was it, or were you busy enough?
Yeah, I was quite happy at night. You get home weekends, I'm from Chapman, it's quite easy to get home. Yeah, I'd get home in a week and all when I was 48 off, I'd come home. Yeah, quite all right.
So we might as well jump to the Birmingham then, because you joined. So tell me, this is what you'd been promised was, or that was the deal.
Yeah, I got the Birmingham light, you know.
Now, so that was in May 1952, 9th of May.
Yeah.
And you're on her, you're on her for quite a while. Yeah, you're on till 54. April 54, so you're on a long time, you know. Yeah. Now, where did you join the Birmingham?
Portsmouth.
And what were your first impressions on joining her? Because that's not an aircraft, it's a proper ship.
It's a nice ship, yeah. There again, though, we had tubes, not like a destroyer, we had tubes, three tubes either side, port and starboard. We had an Aslik set, but it wasn't the orthodox type of Aslik set, not the one, the type of set we've been trained. It was like they had a radar screen with it, one I hadn't seen before. We had depth charges on there and demolitions, obviously.
And what did you think about the size of the ship?
Lovely.
Because she's not as big as an aircraft carrier, but she's big.
No.
They can't see them.
I don't know. There's not a picture of one here, I don't think.
They can't see it on tape.
It's like it looked like the Belfast. Exactly the same as Belfast to look at.
And did that seem a big ship then? I mean, the Belfast seems huge to us now, but did it seem big at the time? Because the battleships are a lot bigger, you know. But
battleships massive, isn't it? Yeah, I never looked over big. I mean, when you're on a mess deck with 30 men in a small space, they're not very big, like, you know.
Now, what mess deck were you on? Was there a special torpedo man mess
deck? There was. We had a torpedo man's mess on there, yeah.
And what was that like? Or was it much as, you know?
Yeah, much the same. I went aboard and they were already aboard. They'd been aboard a couple of weeks by that time. And I took over the mess there, my first time.
And you were the killicker, the leading seaman.
Yeah.
So tell me, what exactly does that mean in the talk? What was your role as
Well, you're responsible for the everything, the well-being of really, the cleanliness of the mess for a start. Making sure that, I mean, things like jam and stuff. You have a mess bill, that's got to be worked out. There's always butter there and jam and bread. But the main meals, as you know, they're all brought to you anyway. You do the rosters for anybody, the duties.
So, like, cook of the mess?
Who does cook? You make a roster out who does cook and that, and then you're responsible for the cleanliness and everything else of it, mess, like, you know, the general.
Now, was there a big division between you and the men?
No, I'm not sure what I'm smashing.
So is it first name terms?
Yes, yeah, you're called Ookie, like, you know, but...
That's a traditional name.
The normally, if you're a folksman, not as a rule, if you're a folksman and lean end, you'll be in a quarter decksman's mess. So you don't usually mess with the blokes you work with. You're living in a mess different to the fellas that you're working with. But as Torpedoman, you worked and lived with the same men. You know what I mean? You had that. You were leading in the mess, and then you worked with them too on the tubes and such like.
That didn't cause any trouble for you?
No.
Now, so the mess day was pretty much. Was this general messing again?
General messing, yeah.
And food any different? Or was it as
much? I think it's always much the same. Yeah.
So. What about, tell us a bit more about this ASDIC. What were your duties?
I never had much to do with ASDICs on board there, because we had one fella see the ASDICs. As I say, it wasn't a big thing on there. You're not a submarine chaser. I think it's more evasive on a cruise. I don't know what they are now, but it wasn't no big thing. You had an oscillator and a dome under the ship, and you could operate the ASDICs. But it wasn't one to attack submarines, I don't think.
And we
didn't have the weapon. We had depth charges, but I mean, destroyers, you've got weapons that you threw a head like, you know. You
what, like a hedgehog?
Hedgehog, and then the squid, like the hedgehog was even went obsolete while I was in it. And then you had the squid. I don't know what they've got now. I ain't got a clue what they've got now. They operate from boys now, I believe.
Now, so what were you doing? What were your duties as a...
I had the... Worked directly under the torpedo instructor, Taz, smashing bloke. We were mates, me and him. He was a petty officer instructor, smashing fella, Scots fella. And worked directly under him, who worked under the torpedo officer. You had the tubes, the deck round the tubes, all had to be in there. We had two places there, a blind head room and a gyro room they were different rooms either side of the ship in the deck area of the tubes. All had to, all yours. You'd done the routines on the torpedoes under the instructor.
What are the routines? So what do you have to do with torpedoes on a routine basis?
We often through the air, I can remember, you had an air vessel and you done dry runs, run the engines. I know there was like weekly routines, monthly routines. There was one occasion we were in Singapore, we even took them ashore for routines. I worked in a torpedo factory for a week there doing routines. And you always work from a book. You've got a book, I can't even remember what you do now, but you had to take the tail off from time to time, run the tail, all the gears in the by the propeller light, you know. I can't remember a lot about it, really.
That's fair enough. It's a long time ago. There's sort of a lot of routine maintenance.
There's routines on there. You've got to make sure. I mean, if you fire one, at that time, they reckon they cost £1,000 each, or probably a lot more now. You leave a plug out, at the end of the run, you'll lose it. And there'd be a big inquiry. I never known one to be lost, though. The fella, the Taz instructor, he always made sure...
So, what about the actual equipment that fired the torpedoes? Was there a lot of work on that as well?
No, you just put a charge in the vessel, and my job then was up on the bridge on the control. You sighted it.
Was that your main job then?
On the tubes, yeah.
So, what were you doing up on? What were your control duties?
You had a box of tricks up there. You sighted your target, and you guessed the range, or got a range from the radar, and then you sighted it. The box allowed for the distance travelled by the time the torpedo run. I mean, the torpedo runs at how much was it? 15 knots, was it? 30 knots? I can't even remember the speeds of them there. And the time you have arrival and everything else, so that you get a target, like, you know, and you hit, and then you fire when you on, and at the same time you fire, they fire on the tubes down below. So either one of them, like, you don't know which one, you make sure they do fire.
So what sort of equipment is this? Did it have a name, or was it just torpedo guidance equipment, or what?
No, as far as I can remember, called torpedo control up there. I can't remember much about that now.
But that's where you'd usually be.
When we were firing torpedoes, and that actually was my action station, yeah.
You said you got on well with the instructor, torpedo instructor.
Yeah, smashing bloke, smashing fella.
So you worked as a team with him?
Yeah, always worked with him. Yeah, he'd decide, like, the torpedoes would come and tell him what he wanted and everything else, and he'd tell me, then you'd organise it. What was to be done, what routines was to be done, when tubes were to be painted or whatever, like, you know.
And what about the officer? Or would you?
He was a torpedo officer, yeah, he was a lieutenant commander. He'd come up from the decks, he'd come up, like, worked his way up. He's quite a nice fella, yeah, what I can remember of him. Brings a drink out when you're doing a routine.
And you knew their stuff? They knew their stuff?
Yeah. Especially the Taz Eye, the instructor. I think he'd been instructing in the Vernon quite a while before he came aboard there. Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
So where do you go from Portsmouth then?
Oh, I can remember. Was that? I think that was the case. We were going to have a last run ashore.
Tell us the story then.
Last run ashore, and a fog come down. We were at anchor. I'm not sure whether we were in the yard. I might have been outside the yard because we're going to leave early in the morning.
So what
I'm
happened?
Not sure. Don't know if we were at anchor outside the yard or at a buoy. I can't remember. But they were sending, there were men who could go ashore, off duty, going ashore for, you know, last run in UK. You were leaving in the morning, and the fog come down. And we're all up there dressed, I was one of them, out there dressed, ready to get on a boat to go ashore. And they come and said, all leave stopped, because you're leaving in the morning, first thing early in the morning, and not going to chance any men not being able to get back. We had a boat come back, and the boat had radar on it. And the fella said, I'll promise that the boat crew, like a civvy boat, so I'll promise I'll get them all back. But the master at arms up there chatting, he, no, nobody comes. Then he said, if you don't clear, I'll have you for mutiny. So everybody had a scatter, but quite an upset that you couldn't get ashore that night. Yeah, the last night, couldn't get ashore.
So then you set off. And
in the morning, yeah.
What about that trip? What was it like? I mean, you've done it before now, but yeah. Which way do you go?
Same way, I think, right? Yeah, Malta, Gibraltar, Malta, Canal. Yeah, I think the same way.
Anything about the voyage, or was it just now routine for you?
Yeah, it's much every day, normal, I think. Well, I can remember. I can't remember anything.
It's all right, I don't know. What about when you got there, then?
Just renewing old things, I think. It was a bit different now, like, you know, you were more experienced and everything else, like, you felt things a bit differently, I think, more grown up, like, you know, because before, really, when you were young, you are only a boy when you're young, aren't you, like, you're very young when you think about it, yeah, I can't remember much more.
So, what happened when you were out there, I mean?
Well, we used to do the same with them on patrols, like, on Korea again. But that was different there. Where were the carrier you were flying on there? It was all bombardment, all bombarding with guns.
And what do you remember about that?
Well, they go out there. Sometimes you'd go at anchor and it would, you'd have morning service. And then the commander would come on after the morning service and they'd say, gun crews. I go to dinner half hour early and close up for bombardment sites. That's just after your early service and you'll be at anchor. But then sometimes you could, you could watch, on one or two occasions, you watch the war going on ashore. You see the aircraft and see rockets coming out of the aircraft, like, you know.
And what sort of impact, what could you see of the damage your shells were doing?
No, I couldn't see nothing. No.
You were a fair way off then?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, I know, they sometimes sent a spotter ashore on a hill somewhere, be guiding the guns on, or they'd have an aircraft doing it.
Did they tell you how whether you were successful or not?
Sometimes you get what they'd hit or something, sometimes not. I don't think much. I don't think anybody really took like that. It's terrible, really, because you're probably causing havoc somewhere. You're part of it, like, you know, and you don't even give a second thought to it. When you think about it, it's not nice. That it goes on, doesn't it? Terrible, really.
There's no return attacks at all, I presume.
On one occasion, that I can remember, they picked up shells on radar. We went to a place. I don't know what that was. We were steaming for a long while. That was so we were told to keep quiet and everything. No light. Well, we didn't have lights up there. It was all blackout anyway. And told not to make a noise, no banging, nothing. And we steamed for quite a while. Worked up to full speed ahead. Well, worked up steam for full speed, and then suddenly opened up with everything, like, and then turned right about, opened up with everything the other side, and then shot off at full speed, like, and I don't know what happened. That was coming up to one Christmas Eve, I think. God knows what that
but
was.
But you didn't get any back.
Well, they picked up shells coming back, yeah.
But no,
didn't, no,
didn't
it's
see
nothing.
Them.
I didn't know.
Any stories from the time of how you were and what was going on the decks? You know, for you as a young lad, well, not so young then, but you know, as a killick.
That was just general routine. I can't think of anything outstanding.
So, what would a typical day be like for you as killick? You know, do you see what I mean?
Do the watch keeping still? You do sea boat or something? Get up in the morning. Before breakfast, because I had the tubes. You'd have to fall in, report to commander. Then you go down. We had one fella get before we arranged that he'd be down there, get all the scrubbers out already, the hoses up rigged. Go down and then you scrub all the deck round the tubes, get that all cleared up, and then go to breakfast. And then after breakfast, you fall in again, and you'd have your daily routine of working round the torpedoes. When you wasn't on watch, you'd have your...
So just carrying out the stuff you don't remember too well, but the routine maintenance work.
That's all, yeah. Maintenance and cleanliness, like cleaning things, painting things, doing things that have to be done.
The evening?
You'd finish at 4 when you're on your work, 4, then, because you still had your watch keeping to do. Nothing you do that do any washing you had to do and anything like that, any general things like that.
Were you enjoying you know
I did. I thought
what did you enjoy
it.
About it?
I don't know, the life. I loved the life. Brilliant, you know. But, I mean the social side, you're always with, although they're all men, I know, but they haven't they got women aboard. I don't think I'd care for that. I wouldn't go in there. Not with women aboard. Wouldn't be the same.
But you just enjoyed the camera.
I enjoyed the life. I on my last, before I left to go on to Birmingham, I'd been going with my wife quite a while, and we arranged to get married. I wouldn't get married while I was in the Navy. I said no, which really was silly, because we were going to get married after. I'd have got marriage allowance, because we were saving, which, you know, we lost out on. We were saving for when I got home again, and... So it was on my mind, you know, I was going to leave because I was going to get married. And then they come and ask me if I was signing on. And the torpedo officer, because they knew my time was coming near, I'd had to put in for relief a year before my time finished. And he asked me if I was signing on. I laughed, actually, I laughed. And he got quite upset with it. He said, I'm serious. What that? And he said that if I was signing on, he had recommended me like to go through for one and possibly instructor. for which case I'd have had to do a petty officer's course. And it, the thing is, you've done all the donkey work, and you're going to start reaping the benefits after all that time, like, you know, because your pay gets improved as a petty officer, and your living's probably better too, you know. And I would have had a bit of time in this country, and it really, it would have paid, and then you stay in, get a pension. But after all that donkey work, you suddenly, it's like doing an apprenticeship and then leaving, and there's no way you can follow that trade at home. Like, you know, you do a full apprenticeship, and then you say, that's enough, I'll change. It's, I have no regrets now, because I've got a smashing family, like that. So I've no regrets that way.
Now, just tie up a few things. So while you were out there, because you were out there for, what, nearly a year and a half or so, out. So nothing much happened, as far as you remember. You know, it was a pretty routine time on the Birmingham.
Yeah, you were doing patrols, that's all I can remember. Going up, doing patrols, coming back round Japan or something.
Had Japan changed at all in the 2 or 3 years?
No, much the same. Lovely place. I'd go back tomorrow.
You still liked it?
Yeah.
And any particular pals on board ship?
You make friends. Yeah, you make friends. You go ashore mainly with, but you're quite often ashore with a bunch of you, like, you know. I was very friendly with the Tazai. He came to my wedding, actually. He came all the way down from Portsmouth on a motorbike down to Dagenham when I got married.
So that was the torpedo instructor.
Petty officer, yeah.
And what about the ship? Was it a happy ship?
Yes.
I mean, you know, and why was it happy again? Because
I don't know. I don't hear no moans about it. No, I think it was. Yeah, I think most of them would have said the same. I can't say what makes it. No, you know.
What about the captain? Do you remember would you know who the captain was?
No, I would have at the time, but no, I remember the commander.
What were the officers like? What do you think of them?
Oh, well, I had done what I had to. Didn't have a lot of dealing with them, except I had my only dealing with the torpedo officer. part of ship officer sometimes. Like, didn't have a lot of dealing with them, really.
You weren't on the wheel at all?
Not on the wheel,
no. You had your proper, not proper, but you know, you were doing your duties as top. Right. Now, so what happens next then? Do you leave the ship or does the ship come back?
No, I left the ship. I was due home and I'd been overdue, actually, I think, and we'd done a cruise. And they come and told me in Hong Kong, when you get to Hong Kong, your relief is waiting. And you're going home on the Lancashire, which was everything but a paddle boat. It was a funny old thing, that was.
Lancashire?
Yeah, SS, is it? I suppose it's SS Lancashire, I don't know. It was a tall funnel thing, it was. And when I looked at it, I thought it should have them Mississippi paddles on the side. It looked like one of them.
Yeah. And what was the trip like?
That was a while, I think about 5 or 6 weeks. There was only... I think it was about 30 matlows on there and about 1,000 troops. And we had a little place, we slept in bunks. We had absolutely nothing to do. The soldiers used to be given jobs. They were all given jobs of cleaning up here and there, nothing much. We had hardly anything to do. 11 o'clock they'd say, Royal Navy up spirits. And we used to get jeered going, that they carried your tot on there, like, you know. Get jeered and come from there, from the Avenue Rum, go along to the bar, which was by then open. And they had 2 sittings for dinner, which I used to be our bugle for, because they had all these troops. And we'd always go to the second sitting, get told off for being in there too long, because there was a sergeant never liked it. We used to all sit together. And on a ship, you usually, after you've had your talk, everybody wants to talk, because I think, no matter how long you drink that, it's still... got that effect on you, because they're quite a tot, like, if you like. And you'd have your tot, then you'd have your dinner, and then everybody want to talk. Well, on there, you do the same. You sit there, you have your dinner, you've had your tot, and you've had a beer as well. And the sergeant used to, in this hall, a young fella he was, in charge of this, and we'd sit there, and he'd want us to go, and he used to get so annoyed, like, but, yeah, it's quite good on there.
I should have asked you before about the top. Tell us a bit about Rum Rush, because there's all this sippers and gulpers.
Oh,
and
yeah. I used to be what they call rum bosun, as they in the end. You go and get the rum in a rum fanny. Yeah, that rum fanny, you must have. It's just a pot, chrome pot. Well, we used to have two of them, one for inspection, one for yum, because they don't wash it out. It goes brown. And so you hide that away. And when you have an inspection, you get the other one there. That's clean, like, you know. And you take that down at top time.
Where do you get the rum from? Or is it
you take your top down, you go that on deck, you've got the supply officer, normally, and a marine on the bigger ships. You'd have a marine that's dishing it out. He's got all the measures, all brass measures, out of the barrel with the king, God bless him, or what have you, on there. And, he'd have the suppliers would have a list of how many, and it was 8 tots to a point. So if he said 1-3, that'd be 11 tots, like, you know. He'd say 1-3, 1-4, and that's how many you had. And you go back, if somebody had stopped, he hadn't told you, you'd ask who's got stopped, like, you know. And then you go down, you stay in the head end of the mess, and you had a measure, and you'd fill the measure. No, you fill the glass. Fill the glass, put it in the measure, and so that when it was running over and you had a full measure and you put it back in the glass, you empty the glass out and then you put it back into the glass, give it. And if you were rumbos and everybody say, have a sip, they give you back and you'd have a sip off them. So if you had 11 men drawing around, you'll have 11 sips, and then you'll have your own.
I mean, does that make you a bit tipsy?
They can, because it's quite strong. I like to drive around now, but if you had water with it, you used to have 2 parts water with grog. So it's you've got 3/8 of a pint of it in a glass, 3/8 with the water, and it was still quite. I've seen when we had soldiers aboard, they'd say, "Can I have a tip?" And their eyes had water from it, but everybody drank it down. You never stood with it, you drink it down, like,
now,
know.
What about all this sippers and gulpers business?
Well, that's what it was. You have a sip if you were rumbos, and everybody, as you pass on their top, they'd always have it back, like, and you'd have a sip. I think on somebody's birthday they might say, have a gulp, like, you know. They'd say a bit bigger, like, you know. Yeah, they did say it could cause trouble, like, but I didn't see a lot with it, not really. Like to go to sleep more than anything after a top.
Did you get it every day?
Every day, wherever you were, wherever you travelled. As I say, that you went on there, they took enough on the Lancashire coming home, which was a merchant ship. They carry enough for the matlows that were on there. If I, a couple of times the ship goes ashore, I went, had to stay ashore for an odd occasion. First thing they ask you, do you draw? Like, you know, you never miss out on your top, unless you're under punishment. You get things done for it, and all they turn down a pound where they take it, you know. I mean, if you ask somebody, do your duty for you, say no, say, have my top tomorrow, and they'd say yes. Get things like that.
Now, when you got back on Lexi, is there a custom? I should have asked before. Did you have to go through customs? Was there a big
Yeah.
Now, was that a big thing? Because what would you have that was contraband? Or was it just...
No, you had stuff. You had to write out stuff. We had to write out a list of anything to declare. We write a list out. And then the customs would come aboard. And that's before you come in harbour. They come aboard. And you go up with your list. And they go down your list and decide what to charge you on. Never a lot of money.
Yeah. And then you go into barracks at Chatham, I presume. Now, was there any last attempts made, you know, to persuade you to stay in the Navy? Or had they given
no,
up on
you? No, he asked me if I was staying. And I said no. He told me that had I stayed, he'd already recommended me. And you had to have your recommends to get on, like, you know, so.
But no one tried. Once you got back, that was it. No, you were just going out. So what would you, I mean, you were at Pembroke nearly
four. Actually, that's something. When I left the Birmingham, when we got back to Hong Kong, and they come up, like, that's something else. When they come round on the top the day before, they were coming round saying, come round to the mess, and all want to give you a sip. And that instructor long to his mess, where they have neat run, they don't have water with it in the Petty Officer's mess. Went into him, he got his bottle out, that they all keep a bottle, like, you know. And then others see you, they come up to you, and by the time you're finished, you're well off, like, you know. But in the morning, I went, the instructor, couple of some blokes, and the torpedo officer, they were out seeing us on the gangway. And do you know what? I, going through my mind, then this is what I'd been waiting for. I started to think, am I doing the right thing? Like, you know, you started to feel so sorry you were leaving of something, you know. It's something you think, oh, it can't come quick enough, I'm going home. But then when it come to it, you were leaving something you wasn't sure you wanted to leave. And especially you're going to come home to come outside, you wasn't sure of what was going on. And I wasn't sure then whether I'd done right.